Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Jen Tennekin, and you're listening to the Think Inclusive Podcast.
Recording from beautiful Marietta, Georgia, you are listening to the Think Inclusive Podcast, episode 27. I am your host, Tim Viegas. Today we have a fantastic conversation with filmmaker Jen Tennekin about her new film, Hearts of Glass. But before we get into the interview, I have a few announcements. The first thing I want to talk to you about is how you can support the podcast. You can go on patreon.com/thinkinclusivepodcast. Or anchor.fm/think-inclusive. Anytime anyone signs up for a monthly contribution, it helps pay for the production and transcription costs for the podcast. We do have a lot of our podcasts that are available through transcription. And if you are interested in those, go ahead and click on the podcasts tab on thinkinclusive.us. Again, thank you for those who have contributed. We really appreciate it. The other announcement is something we talked about last week. We are officially offering inclusion coaching and educational consulting through our website. So if you want more information about that, go to the services tab on thinkinclusive.us. There you can subscribe to our Think Inclusive not so weekly email. We try to do it, but less spam in your inbox is probably a good thing. We will be sending out an email very soon. If you missed out on the podcast discount for the inclusion coaching, we'll be sending out an email very soon on a way you can get a discount on those services. So those are all the announcements. And I want to tell you about Jen. So today on the podcast, we have filmmaker Jen Tennekin. We talk about her most recent project, Hearts of Glass, which she sees as an opportunity to raise awareness about local, sustainable food production and the need for inclusive, fair-paying job opportunities for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. If you like the podcast, help other people find us by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the Think Inclusive Podcast. You can also tell your best friends. We love word of mouth promotion. So please, please tell people about us. And so without further ado, here's the interview. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thinking Inclusive Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Viegas. I am very excited to introduce
Jen Tennekin, filmmaker. She began making documentary films in the late 90s in Boston before moving to Jackson, Wyoming in 2002. Her previous award-winning documentaries, The Stagecoach Bar, An American Crossroads, and Far Afield, A Conversation Love Story, Conservation Love Story, has been distributed nationally by American Public Television. Currently, she is partnering with her local slow food chapter, Slow Food in the Tetons, to produce Hearts of Glass, a film focused on cutting-edge vertical hydroponic greenhouse with a social mission in Jackson Hole. Hearts of Glass tells the story of the first critical year of operation of Vertical Harvest, a highly innovative but risky experiment in growing crops and providing meaningful employment to people with disabilities. Jen's films have community at their heart, and Hearts of Glass is an opportunity to raise awareness about local, sustainable food production and the need for inclusive, fair-paying job opportunities for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Thank you for joining us on the Think Inclusive podcast, Jen.
You're welcome, Tim. It's great to be here. I can tell you how long ago I wrote that, though, because our film changed from covering the first year to covering the first 15 months, which is not a sexy number. It's a hard number. It's like, couldn't it just be like a year and a half or 2 years or a year? No, it's 15 months.
Yes. Well, that's okay. It had been a while since I had watched the film and now us having this conversation. But as reviewing it before we are having this conversation, I was just reminded just about how beautiful this story is, and how wonderfully it captures the idea of this innovative practice of sustainable food, but also disability rights. So it's kind of like this mashup of agriculture and disability rights in a documentary, and I've never experienced that before. So kudos to you. This was a fantastic
film
to watch.
That hadn't been done before. Yeah, it is a really interesting story, and the great thing about it is it was happening in my backyard, so I didn't really have to go very far to cover it. And I've actually, in the same way that the slow food movement has practiced sort of locavore, local food, I'm a local filmmaker, and I don't think any of my last three films have been farther than 20 miles from my house. So that I'm trying to save the world by only making local films.
Right. Saving the world by staying home.
Right. And because I had reached out to you to be a test screener of the film. Unlike the previous two films that I had done, with this film, I went through a series of test screenings with various audiences, and we didn't focus just on disability, but we obviously reached out to some disability viewers and advocacy groups, but we tried to mix up our audiences, so we had a lot of different perspectives on it. And your feedback was helpful, so that's why in the write-up that I sent you when we were going to originally do this podcast, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago, that it was covering a year and not 15 months. So
right.
Some things have changed, yeah. But it really is something that is incredibly innovative and is not going on anywhere else in the world at this moment. This particular combination of a high-tech vertical farm in a purpose-built building on an extremely small footprint with the amount of technology crammed into it, in ways you don't even have to say so much about the technology, because the images of the vertical carousels and the horizontal carousels just sort of speak for themselves. They look so cool and high tech.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And then the combined social mission. You know, Vertical Harvest was always envisioned to sort of bring these two things together: a community need for local year-round produce, which is very difficult to to grow in Jackson, which has a 4 to 5 month growing season, outdoor growing season, and meaningful, competitively paid jobs for community members with disabilities.
So I have two questions to kind of start us mm-hmm. off. What was your involvement in this project as far as Vertical Harvest goes? How did you first learn about it, and why was it important to you to even make this documentary about this particular issue, these combining of issues, the greenhouse and then the employment for people with disabilities?
Well, I first became, Jackson is a small town. We have 10,000 people in our town. So chances are you know a lot of people. And I did know the two, and then it turned out to be three women who kind of founded it. And it was about an eight-year process, from the idea and the inception of the idea of Vertical Harvest to the culmination where the doors were opening and they were growing produce. So I think that I helped my friends at some point with a Kickstarter video for it, or I contributed some footage. It went through several iterations where in the beginning it was a nonprofit where people were donating, and then it eventually morphed into a, and this is very sexy, low-profit, limited liability corporation.
Okay.
Yes, which is it's a low-profit company. So the social mission is primary. There are investors that expect a return on their investment, but it is slow money and patient capital. So all that kind of B Corp social investing that
right.
is quite hot at the moment.
Right. Yeah, I was actually just thinking about B Corp because that's something that it the only reason that popped in my head was a low profit organization. That sounds a lot like Think Inclusive.
Yeah, it is really it is bad marketing.
Yeah,
it
is. It is. Yes, but
I've got a great business. It's completely low profit. Would you like to invest? Yes. Yeah.
That's right. So all the investors out there.
Right.
No, that's fantastic. And so you just kind of did. So it sounds like you were just trying to help them out, and then what drew you to wanting to make the documentary?
Well, yeah, so as I said, it was an eight-year process for them to really bring this to fruition. So I was making other films during the interim, and I happened to finish the last one, Far Afield, A Conservation Love Story, just as they were finishing building the greenhouse. And I did have this moment where I thought, ooh, I really could use a break, because being an independent film producer makes you want to curl up in the fetal position a lot of the time. But I thought, this really is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to capture this moment in time. It's a very exciting time for this. It's a startup. It not only has the social mission, but it has all of this high-tech hydroponic vertical farming equipment in it. It seemed like I should do it, and I couldn't pass it up. And it's very important to have editorial separation in the work that you do as a documentary filmmaker. And the film is not for Vertical Harvest, and they did not financially support it. But it clearly is about them, and I'm sure it will be a benefit to them in some ways. But it is nice to have editorial separation, and it is nice that I live in a small town and people were comfortable with my reputation, and they let us have really unfettered access, because I'm sure there were some things they would prefer that we didn't film. And I know every time the people from Vertical Harvest watch it, they enjoy it, but they also go through an angst around some of the highs and lows around the business mm-hmm. model and dialing in the growing of crops. There were a lot of variables for sure.
Yeah. So there are several themes that are really in this, in Hearts of Glass, and you know, I'm not a filmmaker, but I'm wondering if these themes were intentional or they just kind of came out organically in the film. Mm-hmm. But so you have this theme of inclusion, of creating an environment where you have, you know, you have people with intellectual disabilities and, you know, typically developing, or, you know, however you want to say it, you know, workers working together, mm-hmm. and just how empowering that is, because when you watch the film, the people that are working side by side, it is not a it's not just a helper helpee type of role. Mm-hmm. They're working together for a common goal, and mm-hmm. while there's support there, you don't see the workers talk down to the people with intellectual disabilities. They're equals and their peers, and that is, as an educator and someone who wants to, you know, promote that type of inclusion in, you know, in our communities and schools, that was so refreshing to see, and to see play out in such a natural environment. So I really love that. And then you have the idea that people with disabilities are working, but they're also working for a competitive wage. They're not, you know, having sub pay at all. Mm-hmm. And then you have this whole other story of just how the greenhouse works in general, which was fascinating. So could you talk about those themes? Were they intentionally put out, or were you, you know, how did that play out in how you were making the film?
So a couple of things. I feel like I missed part of your other question before. I'm going to go back because it touches on disability. So, you know, a lot of people who make films about disability have a personal connection to disability. Mm. And I didn't really have one before working on the film. And so for me, just from a very personal experience, I started to get introduced to people in my community that, for whatever reason, I hadn't been aware of or in the same circles with. And it was very, I think, very rewarding just to get a sense of what people's capabilities are, and meet families, job supports, you know, caregivers, lots of different people involved in the whole process, and just really get a sense of the complex web that is created with the community. And then I think just seeing the employment model, which is not, you know, I have had a quick learning curve, I think, working on the film. We started filming in December of 2015, and really early on, I reached out to the University of Wyoming and the University of Montana's University Centers on Excellence in Developmental Disability to have advisors on board from the get-go. And they were extremely helpful. And from there, I got connected with the Association for University Centers on Disability. I'm trying not to use all of the acronyms.
No, thank you.
Yeah. So I think Vertical Harvest model is not all the way towards one side of the spectrum on completely integrated and competitive, but it is definitely towards the correct side of the spectrum, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think that their breakdown of workers is probably 50% with disabilities and 50% without. And seeing how, again, I think it comes down to sort of a corporate, although, you know, their startup culture, corporate culture, a culture of inclusion. I mean, they were just very inclusive and accepting. And yes, everyone was contributing to the same mission, and people with disabilities as employees there were extremely visible and a vital part of the, and continue to be a vital part of the business. So I really hadn't had much exposure to the disability community before, so it was eye-opening in that respect. Mm. And, you know, just to see, as you mentioned, people treated with, you know, dignity, and the dignity to fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
To perhaps not achieve something. And it was also different from the other films that I've done in that the previous films had been retrospective. You know, I had found a story that I wanted to tell that had already happened, and I could choose my characters and I could do my research and figure out who I, you know, which stories I wanted to tell. This was unfolding, and it was extremely stressful in terms of, you know, are we following the right employees? Will there be enough drama? Will people evolve and change? You know, what's going to happen? So, you know, nobody has the budget, nor should they spend, you know, every day filming in that greenhouse during our 15-month period. That would have been a disaster in terms of trying to go through footage. So mm-hmm. we tried to really get a sense of what was going on, figure out the dynamics. We probably followed eight or nine characters and then had to whittle that down to five main characters
mm-hmm.
That ended up cross disability and ranging in age from their 20s to their 50s, men and women. So it was, I think, a good spectrum that we ended up following.
Diversity in your characters was intentional.
Intentional in a way, but also just, I think, good luck. You know, we ended up, with a good range just because that's whose stories panned out. It would have been good no matter what, but it was important to us to have at least one female character, and we did manage that.
That's good. Yeah. So the character Micah that you're mm-hmm. talking about is fascinating, and she also has her side, I guess, business of mm-hmm. of producing artwork, yeah. which is a really nice part of her story. I did want to bring up one part of Johnny's story, mm-hmm. and I guess this is the educator in me. There's a scene where they're having some sort of like beginning of the day pep talk or something like that, and the I would assume the manager asks everyone to share, you know, I guess how they bring joy to the world or something like that, and Johnny, you know, perks up and he says, well, you know, I recite movies. I recite movie lines. And as the educator in me, it would have been so easy for that manager to say, well, that's really not, you know, that's off topic. Or, you know, that's like, you know, let's bring it back, Johnny. But instead, she goes with it, and she uses his interests, which is obviously reciting movie lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then he recites this movie line, which is so on point with, you know, with just the tone of the group. And mm-hmm. I know I don't want to spoil anything, but it was just really a great moment. And it was those kinds of things as someone who is interested in disability rights and inclusion that I love to see. And I would love to see people see that scene and experience the dignity that is given to the workers. So I just wanted to share that, 'cause that was really powerful for me.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I think those things coming from outside the disability world and maybe being sometimes hypersensitive, not knowing, you know, we ran those scenes by advisors to make sure it didn't seem like people were laughing at, I mean, laughing at Johnny so much as laughing with him, or, right. you know, like it wasn't a derisive kind of feel to it, or like making someone perform kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you have a favorite story or something about the portraits that you did that really stuck out to you?
Well, I mean, I think I have a favorite scene in the movie, and I probably have several favorite scenes, but Johnny, in addition to being a big movie fan, is a brony. He loves, he's a My Little Pony fan, and there are bronies who don't have disabilities, and there are bronies with disabilities, and so I've had some feedback occasionally where people are like, that's infantile, and you shouldn't show that, and I was like, well, if a person without disabilities can be a brony, can a person with disabilities be a brony?
Absolutely.
So a scene near the end where Johnny puts on his My Little Pony outfit for the character Shining Armor and performs at a three-year-old's birthday party and deals with all the chaos and the noise. And you can, I think, really see how he has developed skills to deal with some of it. And it even gets out a little out of hand at a moment, but he pulls it back in. And it's just, it's about, I think, seeing growth in characters over the course of the film. And to me, that was sort of a beautiful little story, which is just, I mean, there's nothing better than somebody in a pony costume, in my opinion, but and really enjoying it. Like, he's really working the room in that three-year-old's birthday party.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Overall, how did the making of this film impact you personally?
I think, you know, as I said, I didn't have a lot of exposure to my fellow citizens with disabilities here in Jackson. So it's allowed me to develop some friendships with people that I say friendships because they extend beyond the filmmaker subject lines, mm-hmm. delineations. And, it's great to know, like, I just know Sean. I don't necessarily, Sean has strengths and weaknesses, and he's a great worker, and he's super fun to hang out with. And I mean, it's a small town, so I feel like it's just opened my eyes to how I can extend my community and the value, I think, of natural supports on the job just in life. I saw that happen at Vertical Harvest. I don't think there are only so many things we can show in a film, and I think that's one thing that you probably don't get as much of a sense of, but, you know, we saw friendships evolve and natural supports evolve through work relationships, and I think that's some of the stuff that you pointed out early on, where you see there are a number of employees who have job supports that help them throughout this period that we filmed, but there are also coworkers that just function as natural supports. So I think just, being kind, being inclusive, engaging with people. My goal was that when people walked away from this film, that they knew enough about our five major characters that they could start up a conversation or know what their likes or dislikes were, or that they really got a little window into people's personality, and they weren't just sort of monolithic portrayals of people with disability, you know, to be pitied or not really. You never learn enough about people's characters to really care.
Right.
So,
Jen, what was the biggest thing that you learned about the vertical hydroponic greenhouse in making this film? Like, what was the biggest thing that you
learned
about that?
That it's perhaps more stressful to run a hydroponic vertical farm than it is to make a film about a hydroponic vertical farm. No, it just, I mean, but it just, it takes a brave and committed people to, I think, take that kind of risk. You know, they did a ton of research to create this vertical farm and the employment model. But, you know, I mean, where the rubber meets the road is when you get in the greenhouse and you're beginning to grow things. And it was just the commitment, the ups and downs, the fact that these people were in it for the long haul. It was impressive. It was impressive. There were times when you were filming where you were just like, oh my goodness, I feel so much for you people. Meaning the people who work at Vertical Harvest, everybody who works at Vertical Harvest. So,
yeah. Well, the Hearts of Glass is fantastic. I can't wait for our listeners to see the film. So tell us how they can see the film, if it's even possible at this point.
Right. So we're very early in our festival run, and that is the first phase of distribution of the film. So people, unfortunately, well, people could see it if they come to the Wild and Scenic Film Festival in January in Nevada City, California. We just got selected for that. But we're a little ways off from having public screenings, but there will come a point where, you know, we want to encourage community screenings. People will be able to buy a download of the film, all of those wonderful things that happen. But we're a little ways off from that. We've presented some excerpts and had panel discussions at a couple of disability conferences, and we are looking forward to attending TASH's national conference in Portland at the end of November. And one of our main characters, Ty Warner, will be there with his father. And so I think it's really important when we do these presentations to have a self-advocate employee there as part of it. So what you can do right now is follow us on social media, and you can find out when you'll be able to see the film and where you'll be able to see the film.
Fantastic. And I would assume the heartsofglassfilm.com, they can see trailers of the film. And do you have excerpts on there as well?
We have a couple of different, I think, versions of the trailer on the Facebook page. We, as our cover photo, we have a mosaic of a version of our trailer. We have a presence on Facebook, Instagram, and we're working on Twitter, because, boy, doesn't Twitter need, you have to really work that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Jen Tennekin, thank you for taking time out to be on the Think Inclusive podcast. We look forward to promoting the film when it gets a little bit more so that the public can see it. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
That is our show. We would like to thank Jen Tennekin for being a guest on the Think Inclusive podcast. Make sure to get updates about her film Hearts of Glass at heartsofglassfilm.com and gen10productions.com. You can also follow Hearts of Glass on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow Think Inclusive on the web at thinkinclusive.us, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Instagram. You can also subscribe to the Think Inclusive podcast via Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or Anchor.fm, the easiest way to start a podcast. If you are using the Anchor app to listen, please leave us a voicemail. You may be featured on our next podcast. You can also favorite us and or use the applause button while listening to the show. We love to know that you are listening. Also, a reminder, that you can support the Think Inclusive podcast via Patreon or anchor.fm with a monthly contribution so that we can continue to bring you in-depth interviews with thought leaders in inclusive education and community advocacy. Also, on that note, thank you to Patreon Donna L. for their continued support of this podcast. From Marietta, Georgia, please join us again on the Think Inclusive podcast. Thanks for your time and attention.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.